Almighty God, we pray that you send your spirit to us continuously to bless us as we listen to your word. We want to sit at your feet to hear your word. We hear, we want to listen. We want to submit to your teachings, to be obedient to you, so that we be blessed because we practice your word. Bless us, Lord, as we listen. Because God, we want to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is the AGM of our church. Technically and legally, the church at AGM, the annual general meeting, is the highest body of the church. The AGM has the highest power in decision making. That is why we have to vote for a constitutional change at the AGM. The church council does not have the power or authority to do so. The church at AGM is considered the church in totality. The church at AGM is considered the church in totality, at least legally by the government, and the church in essence. Hence, the main objective of the AGM is essentially about accountability. The main objective of the AGM is accountability. The accountability of the church is seen in two things that we are doing at the AGM today. First, it's the accountability in ministry. This is done through the receiving of reports from the pastors, the church council chairperson, and the chairpersons of committees. Secondly, it's a financial accountability. This happens in the acceptance of the financial report and budget from the treasurer. But, as the pastor of the church, what I deem as most important for us is our accountability. It's accountability as a church spiritual. How we live our lives in the body of Christ. I think this is what we ought to account to each other and to God at the AGM, besides all else. This is at the heart of our spiritual life. So as your pastor, I deem as important for us our accountability to love each other as a response to God's love for us. We love because He first loved us. Today, the body of Christ for us is Yishun Christian Church Lutheran. We are part of the Universal Church of Christ or the Universal Body of Christ through our being part of YCCL. The epistle text for today, 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21, is an appropriate text for this purpose. 1 John, like the other two epistles or letters of John. That is, John wrote three letters. The Gospel of John is one thing. We are talking about the three letters, epistles of John. We are looking at the first one, right? So I'm saying the first letter and the two other epistles or letters are set in conflict and discord. They are set in the context of conflict and discord. This is not surprising. Why? Because this has been part of the church's struggle through the ages. Like the world outside, the church is comprised of sinners. The people outside are sinners. Inside here, we are also sinners. The only difference is that we are forgiven sinners. We still have weaknesses in us that we have not surrendered to Christ and are controlling us in some degree. And we are not made perfect yet until Christ comes again. So, what is the nature of the conflict in the church John is writing to? See, there are people who came into the church from outside and identify themselves as Christians, but behave otherwise. And there are people within the church who have also claimed to be Christians, but too behave otherwise. They don't behave like members of the body of Christ. The message of the letter of 1 John, the crux, the message of First John is introduced with a contrast between walking in darkness and walking in the light of God. the author distinguishes his readers who know the truth from those who calls whom he calls antichrist, just going against what Christ hoped to see in the church. So he distinguishes between readers who know the truth from those he calls antichrist, who were in the church but have now left them. So the readers are encouraged to fix their hope on the coming of Jesus. 1 John 2, 28 to 3, verse 3. Now, the letter offers an impassionate plea for its readers not to love the world. A clear delineation or demarcation is made between children of God and children of devil, right? Chapter 3, verses 4 to 10. And between people who hate fellow believers and people who have God's love in them. 3, verses 11 to 24. So, such is the situation of the church the Apostle John is writing to. So, imagine the kind of conflicts that would ensue or would arise out of such tensions. Can you imagine? It's not difficult to imagine that the interpersonal relationship between and among members suffers. No wonder the opening verses of our text shows the crux of the problem. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love, Christian love, is lost among them. The absence of love implies that they do not know God, implies that they do not know God. You see, our outward behavior reflects our inner belief. Our outward behavior reflects our inner belief and our true relationship with God. I emphasize, true relationship with God. We are familiar with the well-known phrase, God is love. God is love, but love is not God. Huh? God is more than love. Huh? Here we say, God is love. Now, you must have thought that it is found in many places in the Bible, this very well-known phrase. But it is only mentioned twice in the Bible. And it is in this context, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, that they are located. All in this first epistle and in the text for our sermon this morning. The phrase, God is love, is found in this text that we are looking at. In the midst of the tension and conflict, they have forgotten that God is love. And worse still, they've forgotten the meaning of Christian love. Our Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John, all right, same writer, all right, written earlier, John 13, 34 and 35, our Lord Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, the night before he died, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I love you. Not the way you want to love, but just as I love you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. We don't love people as an end in itself. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one for another. Dear church, I submit to you, this is the accountability of the church collective and the church individual. Love each other with the love of God, which is the outward expression of our inner faith as a disciple, and it's also our witness to Christ in the world. All right? This is the accountability of the church. Love each other with the love of God, which is the outward expression of our inner faith as a disciple and as our witness to Christ, to the world. The church's witness to the world, how we love each other. People are looking in. The church is Christ's body. We are body of Christ. So we are part of Christ by being his body. All right? The church as Christ's body exists to continue the witness of Christ by reflecting his love to the world. We love and touch lives in the church and outside of the church, not because of the charity of our heart. We love and touch lives in and outside the church on behalf of God. We are only the instrument. The Apostle John, in highlighting the importance of reflecting God's love, is here reminding the church three things. In the interest of time, I only summarize them. The first thing he reminds them is, what is Christian love? All right? Chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, and I've also lodged verse 19, which I think is a verse that summarizes everything for this little point. What is love? This is how God showed his love among us. How? He sent his one and only son. He sent, even before you ask, you email him, you tell, pray to him. This is how he showed his love. He sent his one and only son. Not only he sent without your request, his one and only son sacrificially into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. An obligation because we're blessed by God, saved from sin. God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 19. So we love because God first loved us. We love not because the person first loved us, right? So, in definition, love is a proactive willingness. God sent without your requesting. A proactive willingness to do what is best for others. Importantly, on behalf of Christ. When you love somebody, kind to somebody, you're doing on behalf of Christ so this person can experience God's love, God's kindness, God's forgiveness to you. Proactiveness is the result of obedience, not feelings. Proactiveness is the result of obedience, not feeling. To be proactive is to be obedient. The next point, he's reminding the people. The implication of loving one another. What does it say when we love each other with the love of God, with the love of Christ? We call Christian love. Verse 12 to 16 of chapter 4, 1 John. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I go to the crux of this passage in the interest of time. So this point, the second point that the author is reminding the people is that loving others, be careful, loving others or not loving others is an outward expression of our true inner faith. Loving or not loving others is an outward expression of our true inner faith and our true relationship with God. An absence of outward expressions reflect a lack of or a distorted inner faith. An absence of outward expression no willingness, no proactiveness to love, reflects a lack or a distorted inner faith. And I believe it's usually the case of a distorted faith. The implication of loving others is that it reflects yours and my inner faith, the true inner faith, and our true relationship with God. So, let's be very careful how we love. Don't be too, what we call, casual. Flippant is the word. Huh? Take serious things very lightly. Be careful. The third thing he reminds them is that about the goal of love. When we love, at the end of the day, what happens? Okay? 1 John 4, 17 to 18. Verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us. This is how love is made complete among us. So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Now, it's a bit tough, huh? Quite deep here. Huh? This is how love is made complete among us. So that we will have the confidence on the day of judgment. And even more confusing, in this world, we are like Jesus. How are they connected? I'll tell you later. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So, now when we say love is made perfect, it simply means that love accomplishes its purpose. Love is made perfect simply means that love accomplishes its purpose. So what purpose does love accomplish when Christians love each other? Verse 4, 17 says, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Wow, it's quite confusing, huh? Very deep. Even when we love each other, we have what? We have confidence on the day of judgment. And then it goes on, colon, meaning what? In this world, we are like Jesus, you know? Let me explain to you. What is the connection between we have confidence in the day of judgment? That is the purpose of love. Once we learn to love each other, we have confidence on the day of judgment. And then this phrase, and what comes after? And in this world, we are like Jesus. How are they connected? Now, it seems to say in my own study analysis is that it seems to say that the meaning of we have confidence on the day of judgment, the meaning of this thing is found in the phrase, in this world we are like Jesus. Okay, you see. So hence the answer is found in the example of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus demonstrated perfectly what Christian love is. He proactively and willingly allows himself to be incarnated, God become man, humility, absolute humility. He proactively and willingly allows himself to be incarnated or born into this world so that he could suffer for us and pay the penalty of our sins. Now, when that happens, when he is sentenced to death, when he's sentenced to death and death on the cross, he faces judgment with no fear. He was tired. He said, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. I want to die. By the end of the day, he says, not my will, but yours. He has no fear. He faces judgment and death. He has no fear. Why? For perfect love casts out fear. Hence, verse 18. Now, this is now superimposed to our context now, our own judgment day. Christ's judgment day was on the cross. He faced without fear, love. Hence, verse 18. Okay, verse 18. All right? There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Think of Jesus' example. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother or sister. All right? I go to the crux. So in this world, we're like Jesus. It's taken to mean that we are to follow the example of Jesus proactively, willingly, do what is best for others on behalf of God to touch lives, to give hope. In this way, we have no fear when we face God on Judgment Day because we can account to God. We have loved others with the love of Jesus on behalf of Him. Loving one another with the love of God proactively and willingly is our way of accounting to God as a church and as an individual. Typically, we don't have problem loving people in general. As a pastor for so many years, I realized that. Typically, Christians don't have problem loving people in general. It's loving certain people in particular that have problems. It is loving certain people in particular. Why? This is because our fruit of the Spirit is not ripe enough to do the job. This is the area of our spiritual maturity. You can wait and wait, but the fruit never mature. And this is the problem. We cannot love people in particular. That is to say, you love people you like, people you don't like, you are not proactive whatsoever. So it is important to be reminded of this all-important aspect of our life as the body of Christ at this AGM as Yishun Christian Church Lutheran. Otherwise, we will miss the point of being churched. Let us, whether church or individuals, have confidence on the day of judgment because we are able to account to God that we have loved one another proactively and willingly on behalf of Jesus, on behalf of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Bless us, O Lord, as we want to be obedient. We want to proactively and willingly love others with your love. Give us the confidence. Help us not to fear, because this is exactly what we exist for. That on the day of judgment, we can account to you as a church. Our sins are all forgiven, but we have our mission to account to you. Bless us, O Lord, that we can all account. In Jesus' name, amen.